From the WGXE newsroom, this is the WGXE Hands-On Radio Daily News and Weather Report for Wednesday, December 28, 2016. I'm Philip Grant. Roger Hannigan-Gilson is reporting for Columbia Green Media on the local response to a new law that will create arraignment hubs at local courthouses signed into law by Governor Andrew Cuomo last month. The law mandates the creation of a rotating list of hubs open all night where defendants are arraigned after arrest. The hubs would make it easier for public defenders to be available to appear on behalf of those charged. In Columbia County, defendants arrested at night are arraigned at whatever local courthouse has a judge who will do the arraignment. Columbia County Public Defender Robert Linville said he had received little guidance so far from the State Office of Court Administration on how the new system will work. He said of the new law's implementation, and I quote, "It will take a great deal of local conversation and airing of concerns to figure out how to do it," end quote. He said the idea itself was a good one and wouldn't leave police searching for an available judge at all hours of the night. Dutchess County Public Defender Thomas Angle said the hubs were a good idea. He said, and I quote, "If they have centralized arraignments, it would make it a lot easier for us," end quote. Livingston Town Judge Robert Moore, who handles many late-night arraignments, agreed. He said, and I quote, "I believe it would be positive. It would bring a defendant before the body of the court in a more timely manner," end quote. Greene County Administrator Sean Groden said he thought the hubs were a good idea, especially in spread-out Greene County. A more effective way to go about arraignments was through video links, Groden said. He said, and I quote, "Talk about efficient, that's efficiency. You're not driving all around the county to get someone arraigned or getting a judge out of bed," end quote. You can read that full story in the Register Star. Roger Gilson is reporting in the Daily Mail that Columbia County Commissioner of Social Services, Carrie Jablanka, was arrested on Thursday, December the 22nd, and charged with drunk driving. Jablanka, 70, of Chatham, was traveling east on New Concord Road in East Chatham when he crashed into a ditch just after 12:30 p.m. He told police he was injured and did not need medical attention. He said he swerved to avoid a dog. Columbia County Board of Supervisors Chairman Matt Murrell said he was not sure if the arrest would affect Jablanka's employment. He said, and I quote, "We need to assess. That's a personal matter," end quote. Murrell said it was not known when a determination would be made. Jablanka is due back in Chatham Town Court on January the 11th. He's facing punishment of up to a year in jail and a $1,000 fine, as well as a license suspension of 6 months. Jablanka has served as head of the county social services since 2014. He was previously employed as an administrator at the Columbia County Office of the Aged. You can read that full story in the Daily Mail. Amelia Teasdale is reporting in the Columbia paper that Chatham Village Mayor Tom Curran has resigned from a joint committee on space sharing at the Tracy Memorial Village Hall. Town Supervisor Maria Lull told the Columbia paper she hoped Curran would reconsider to rejoin the committee. She said the idea behind the two municipalities sharing the space is about, and I quote, "efficiencies and economics," end quote. In his letter of resignation from the committee, Curran wrote, and I quote, "After hearing a great deal of talk about having the town and village work together, it was quite distressing to hear that the town board chose to add more line items to the portion of the budget funded through taxes paid by village residents when the town budget gets to where the village is being taxed fairly by the town. I will be happy to resume work on that committee. I cannot in good conscience work together with the town when our village residents are being taxed unfairly," end quote. The historic Tracy Memorial on Main Street is owned by the village board and houses the village offices, court, and police. The town board rents the second floor for the town court and court offices. The two municipalities formed the committee last spring to begin looking at ways to share the space. In a statement issued in response to Curran's letter, Lull addressed issues with the Tracy Memorial and added renovation to the building. She said the town and village could work together to share the expenses on upkeep of the building. She wrote, and I quote, "The slight tax increase for village residents should not be a reason to walk away from our responsibilities to the Tracy and to the taxpayers. There is too much to lose," end quote. You can read that full story in the Columbia paper. Cairo will consider raising the equivalent dwelling unit rates in the sewer district next week. Town holds a public hearing on the sewer rates at 7 p.m. on Monday, January the 2nd, at the Cairo Town Hall. public hearing will be part of the town's annual reorganizational meeting. The Albany Times Union reports that New York raises its minimum wage at the end of the year. In the WGXE listening area, the wages rise to $9.70, while minimum pay goes to $11 in New York City and $10 on Long Island and in Westchester County. The plan, approved by Governor Andrew Cuomo and lawmakers earlier, will eventually raise the minimum wage to $15. You can read that full story in the Albany Times Union. Amelia Teasdale reports in the Columbia paper that Kinderhook holds a public hearing to consider paving Wildflower Road at 6:45 p.m. on January the 9th in the Martin H. Glenn Municipal Building. Several residents of the dead-end dirt road, which branches off Mason Road near Route 203, have signed a petition to change it from a private road to one the town maintains. Residents on the road would pay for the paving if approved. Wildflower Road resident Rupert Sharon said at the December meeting, and I quote, "It's costing us money now to maintain the road," end quote. You can read that full story in the Columbia paper. Tim Tulock reports in the Altamont Enterprise that 70 homes in Rensselaer are getting fiber optic cables on their telephone poles, bringing high-speed internet to the southern Albany County by the end of 2018. The Middleburg Telephone Company received a $5,562,548 grant from the state's new New York branch program, $54.2 million currently in its first phase. In Schoharie County, the grant will bring high-speed coverage to Blenheim, Broome, Conesville, Fulton, and Gilboa. In Rensselaer, homes along Hunter's Land Road, Crystal Lake Road, Lake Road, and Wolf Road will get at least 25 megabits per second for less than $50 per month. Westerlo and Albany County should also get better service soon, as Mid-Hudson Cable got almost $1 million in a state grant for fixed wireless service, which employs radio wave transmission from a tower to the user's antenna or satellite dish. You can read that full story in the Altamont Press. And now for the weather. The National Weather Service in Albany is predicting a slight chance of snow, mixing with rain after 11 a.m., then gradually ending. It will be partly sunny with a high near 37 degrees. For Wednesday night, it will be misty and cloudy with a low around 26. The forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Thursday, the National Weather Service in Albany has issued a winter weather advisory from 9 a.m. Thursday until noon on Friday. Snow will develop on Thursday morning and continue into Thursday evening. A possible accumulation of 3 to 7 inches is expected. The temperature high will be 34 degrees. On Thursday night, the snow may be mixed with rain before turning into snow again overnight. It will be mostly cloudy with a low around 28. And on Friday, a chance of snow mainly between 7 a.m. and 1 p.m., mostly cloudy with a high near 34 degrees. Friday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 20. Sunrise today was at 7:23 a.m., and the sun will set at 4:31 p.m. That will give us 9 hours and 7 minutes of daylight, 2 minutes more than yesterday. And that wraps up the WGXE Hands-On Radio Daily News and Weather Report for today, Wednesday, the 28th day of January, 2016. From the WGXE Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.